Give me a hug again.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Another big special hug or a praise for Allie. One more time, amen? Because is it because Bruce Springsteen canceled his concert, or?
No. Oh my gosh, don't get me started.
Tim said you can't go?
No.
Huh? What happened? Wow. 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 Well, we can hold a Bruce Springsteen concert here after it's recorded and everything. We'll hold it up here and we'll have it. All right. Well, amen. You know, let's give the Lord a hand of praise for that. You know, there's always something, you know, and God speaks to us through all these simplicities. And through that, it gave us an awesome message, you know, an awesome message of an awareness of who you're giving to, you know, and what are you doing with your money. And if something in that sense that is giving us hope and peace and not to be concerned or worried. I mean, you left your bag and if I knew Allie from the beginning, she would have been like, ah, flipping out, and, you know, and have every law officer out there and looking for it. But she had such peace knowing that the bag was okay. And she went there and God led her and there it was and everything was fine. And who can give that peace but God? I mean, and the truth of knowing God and the love of God. So I just am very grateful because, you know, as we move forward, and as you all here know that Shelly and I, our family, have made a big commitment to devote our whole entire life to the ministry, and me especially. Shelly is working now, thank God, and we have, you know, others that are helping us out. And so it's a big walk of faith. And I just want to thank all of you for just your physical support, for one. That is the most important thing for me, you being here. You being here today is probably the greatest gift I can ask for. When I see Sam standing there and Kurt and his family and, you know, this couple here, and I'm in that zone, so I'm sorry if I don't remember your name right away. And then I see, you know, you sitting here and traveling from where, how far you travel, and, you know, Duke over there, John, who I love dearly, you know, and don't ever leave me a message like that again and not respond, because I'm going to go kill you. I'll go to Lynchburg and find you, and yep, and I, okay. But I will find you and hunt you down. But to be able to see you here is probably the greatest gift that I can receive. I know that I have to put all my faith in my God, or I would be a hypocrite, right? How many people would agree? If I'm over here constantly worrying about my financial needs, and then I'm preaching about how God is going to provide our need, and I'm over here in a hot mess. That would be a hypocrite to no end. And I will never, ever want to lay that down in guilt or shame for anybody. But to know that you understand the need and to support me through that understanding, that's truly God working through you. And I thank God that He works through all of you. And I also thank God for the peace that He gives me as I move forward. I just have this knowing inside my heart that one day you're gonna come to the barn and these seats are just gonna be filled. That it's gonna be like going to that Christmas service out there on the other churches, and you're not gonna find a parking spot. People are going to, I have had visions, many visions, and many times I had to repent because my heart would be pulling into my property, seeing all these people just camping out and hanging out, and I never had a chance of being alone. It'd be like, and I had to come to a place of repentance in my heart because I'm a bondservant, a slave to the Lord and his people, and I can't feel that way. So I've done some repentance, and I'm still need to come to a place of repentance because everybody loves their quiet time, right? How many people love their quiet time? I'm very selfish of my quiet time. It's like when my quiet time comes around, it's like me watching the greatest movie ever. Shh, shut up, don't say nothing. I gotta listen to my movie. So, I'm just very grateful for where he's taking us and where we're going. And the strength that he has given me and my family, because I look at my children and we have the holidays now, and I ask them, I say, is there anything special that you guys would like or you would want? And they just look at me and like, no, we have everything we want. And I'm like, oh, you guys are the best. You know, you just make me want to cry because they don't have that, you know, thing in their heart where they just have to have everything in the whole entire world. But the simplicity that makes them happy is very important. How many people really care about their children and they want to make sure that their children have everything that they want and they need and they desire? Well, I'm no different. You know, I'd love to have my children have everything they need. But for them to say, no, we're happy, we're okay, we're content just hanging out and da-da-da, it just makes you more happier. So God is truly working in our lives. And I want to bring that comfort to all of you so that I know if you love somebody and you know their circumstances, you could weigh heavy on your heart, right? I mean, let's be real. And for me to be transparent and let you know that, you know, everything is okay is comfort to your heart. And I hope and pray that you honor this little speech that I'm sharing to give you that comfort, even though it's the holidays and everything else. God has worked wonders in our family. And some of you might know that we've closed the business down and we've done a lot of things in our lives and we've gone through some financial issues, and one of them was considered bankruptcy. And we made a big decision to walk away from the business, and the business required a lot of debt and everything else. And we have just received a letter through our bankruptcy stating that it has been dismissed. And that means that basically they release you from all your responsibilities. And I haven't spoken to my attorney yet, but they were going to auction off a lot of our stuff. We have some equipment, trailers, backhoes and stuff like that, and equipment. And they were ready to auction a lot off, even the horses and everything. And we were wondering when this auction was going to take place to help pay off the debt going through this bankruptcy. And next thing you know, we got this letter saying that it was dismissed. And that means that they're not going to auction any of our equipment and all that stuff. So I believe we're able to keep everything that we have, which is a tremendous blessing, because one of the things that I was sharing with the Lord was, Lord, I'll be willing to walk away from everything. You know, it doesn't matter to me. As long as I'm in right standings with you and I'm serving you, you know, I'm willing to lay everything down. With that being said, one of the things was the ministry and the home, because without the home, then we don't have the ministry, and then we can all come together and say, well, maybe we can, you know, find some place to rent and then find another building to rent or whatever. But then, you know, financially speaking, that would have been a greater burden probably. And I was ready to walk away and leave everything, you know, and just lay it down and start a life completely over, but in God. And I didn't know where things were going to take us. And I was willing to lay down every asset that we had. And one thing I said to the Lord is, you know, Lord, I don't want to lose my children. I don't want to go to jail. And I don't want to lose my home. You know, I love where we live. And I said, but you could take everything away. And then as things went on, he answered all that. Because the first thing I said to the attorney was, I don't want to lose my home. I don't want to lose my children. And I don't want to go to jail. And when, if anyone has ever faced bankruptcy before, those thoughts are in your head. Think about it. You know, you're walking away from a debt, and it's almost like you're, you know, legally stealing or what have you, and I don't know if you're subject to jail or not. And we had a tremendous amount with the business. We walked away from leases and loans that we acquired that were in the millions. I didn't know where life was going to take me, to be honest with you. I mean, what more can it be to be transparent to the ones that you love the most? And I don't have nothing to hide. I want to be as light as light can possibly be. And I share this as a testimony. I was talking to Allie and Tim last Sunday before they left, and they said, you know, it's nice to share your testimony. And I've held my testimonies in because I didn't want to boast in what God is doing in my life, but yet at the same time, these, you might have to boast in Christ every once in a while. So I'm taking this day as a testimony based on Tim and Allie and how they touched my heart last week. And I want to give all glory and honor to God, because when you're looking at walking away with that kind of number, my attorney even shaked his head and said, you know, bankruptcy only really requires X amount of dollars, and once you go over that limit, you really can't file. And he worked it where I was able to meet that limit, and the rest was, you know, I have swept under the carpet. I don't know where it went, but, you know, he was able to work it to where, you know, because of the corporation and the business closed down, he kind of put some of it under the business where they would have to go after the business, which is a total different entity. And then if they wanted to come under James Vandel, James Vandel's debt was different than the other entity. And it's all legal stuff and how he worked things out. And I'm just grateful for us to have knowledgeable people that we can go to and hire that know the law. And I really want to express the fact that if you don't know your constitutional rights, please learn it. Please learn your rights and understand the law that we live under. And just make sure that you learn it. I want to speak that to the young children too. I see that this generation right here, I want to thank you for being here today, first of all. And to know that you have rights too. And moving forward, you know, I see you being pretty much independent in your life. And I see that you want to have a big family and a lot of children. And how you raise your children are going to be your decision because of God dwelling in you. You'll be directed. But with that being said, you need to know your rights. You need to know your constitutional rights. And they're very important to know your rights. And with that being said, here the conclusion is that God has comforted me through this whole process. And without God, I don't know where I would be. I'd probably be a really hot mess. Just recently, the last few things were, my attorney came to me and said, well, you can keep your trucks. You can keep your dump truck. You can keep your other truck. Even to the point where he wrote letters to the finance company, because we still, you know, pay money on that truck, that they have even worked out a deal where they can't come to me and repossess the truck now. They, as long as I show good faith of sending some money in every once in a while, I can keep the truck. And that in itself is a blessing. Like I said, we need to know our rights. And, you know, with other equipment and stuff like that I have, we need it around the farm, and it would really bother me. I thank God that we have such a great winter that we don't have the snow that we need, but, you know, to plow the parking lots that everybody can get in this place is a big, big thing, too. I mean, I can see myself out there with a shovel trying to shovel, you know, the lane and everything else. So to have the equipment still to be able to, you know, shovel snow when the snow needs to come and vice versa. And, you know, I'm looking at other options, too. But to be able to keep these investments, you know, is a big thing. And through the grace of God, we were able to now keep the investments, so I can now turn around and sell them for, you know, some money. So we can maybe start turning some things around. And so I haven't spoken to my attorney yet. We have a call in Monday. But I also had a check that came to me through the business based on insurance. And there was an overpayment of $10,000. And I gave that to my attorney out of good faith to say, listen, I want to show you the sincerity of me wanting to pay back this debt. So this check came and I want to turn it over to you and give it to you so that you can put it into the estate or whatever that they're looking to take. And hopefully this will help add up some value to whatever they're coming after me for and all. And the attorney took it and put it in escrow. And then he saw 2 weeks ago or what have you, when he talked to me, he says, listen, there's a good possibility that that check will come back to you. So I'm praying that, you know, that check will be released back to us. And that would be like a nice Christmas present for our family, you know, 10 grand. So I just want to encourage all of you that are out there that we're all going to go through some tough times. There's not one person that isn't going to go through tough times. But to go through tough times alone is a very scary thing, and I wouldn't wish that on anyone. But to go through tough times with loved ones like yourselves, and then also to have a God that you can really lean on and trust and know that you can depend on Him, is probably one of the greatest gifts that anyone can receive. That's what I see as salvation. So without knowing my God, and I want to say our God, and to have the same individuals in your life that support you in the sense of knowing your God and encourage you with words of comfort and stuff is a big blessing. So I want you to know that you may not think that you have anything to offer, but you have so much to offer that you sometimes don't see how much you have to offer when in reality, you have given me, just me alone and my family, so much just by your support and your agreement of our decisions and the message that we bring across. So I just want you to know how we feel moving forward, going into the new year, and take my testimony and hold on to my testimony, knowing that these things shall pass. You know, God has a way of tearing down things in your life so that He can rebuild. And so don't feel bad when your life becomes torn down. Don't feel bad if you feel as though that everything that you have lived for or worked for and you believed in has been taken away and destroyed. Because God has a way of restoring what you've built. But when you build it in Him now. I used to say to those that were coming into the truth and finding out who my God is, I would say, I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry. Because I know that your life is going to be torn down and put into a place where you surrender your whole entire life to His will and His plan, because you don't have nothing else to do. And then you can watch Him rebuild. How many of us here just today have experienced their life torn down to nothing and then watched Him rebuild it back up? Amen. And so that's a blessing in itself. And so let's not look at what was torn down, but let's look at what is being rebuilt. Let's look at the life that He is about to give us, not the life that we lost. Let's look at this year moving forward, knowing God and the God that we serve, that He's there to provide our need and to take care of our situation as we move forward. I look around and I see individuals, and I know a little bit about their lives. And I can see that in our lives, I see a new life that is about to ready to start. You've had your home, you've had your marriage, you've had your career. But God has been able to tear things down because he has a plan and a purpose for you. We just need to yield to it and watch him unfold. I see an individual here who based his whole life on a career that he had, and he was looking at a bright side, and now his bright side isn't so bright now. But at the same time, he has a better plan for you. See, inside of us, we have the will of God. And in that will, despite what it is, it could be washing bathroom floors. And you know how disgusting some of that can be in public places. But if it's the will of God, we receive a peace and a joy and a happiness and no worries whatsoever because we're in it. We're in the will of God. And he takes away all that worry and all that concern and all that frustration out of us when we're in his will. So it's not, you know, what we're doing. It's if we're doing it in him. And that's what brings us to peace. It's not how much money we're making. As long as we're working in him, you know, the money that he gives us is sufficient. So we need to understand, you know, the glory of the earth and the glory of the heavens. I'd rather have the glory of the heavens. Because when you have the glory of the heavens, it satisfies all of our need. When you have the glory of the earth, there's always an emptiness of wanting more. There's always an emptiness of needing more or wanting more. And you're never obtaining. You're never, ever obtaining. But when you have the glory of the heavens, you are filled and satisfied and you obtained everything. Right now, a silver and gold I don't have. But what I do have, it's like I can rise up and walk. What I do have is I have a power and a conviction to wake up every day and keep on moving forward, knowing that things are just going to get ever better. You know, and I never felt this way before. When I had the glory of the world, that glory was always striving for more and never coming to a place of being settled. And I obtained a lot of things. I mean, you don't get what you have by sitting around doing nothing. And for the education that I have, I mean, I have a blue-collar working education, maybe even lesser than that. I would say lesser than that. But at the same time, for the amount of education I have, I obtained a lot, and it was all through labor and hard work and constantly plowing and plowing and never coming to that point of, you know, did I get there yet? And plow, 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 and never have a rest. And even when I left one business and went into another one, it was like double bull power, and it was like bringing something from, a wheelbarrow and a toolbox up to something that, you know, it was very stressful. But then coming into God's will, coming into God's glory, I feel that I have obtained everything. And now all the labor has stopped. All the work has stopped in my heart. I feel as though that now there's a time when you come into the glory of God that he puts you on the throne and that everything now comes to you. You're no longer a slave to the world, so to say, but now you're a king in a kingdom and that there's nothing to be worried about, nothing to be concerned. And my desire for all of us is to understand what it is to become a son or a daughter of God. Because when you come into kingship, when you come into that sonship or daughtership of God's glory, think about a king. Does a king have to labor anymore? But everything is given to him, isn't it? And I believe this is what God wants to establish in all of our hearts. The message that I have for Christmas, for this week, to the world, to understand Christ, it's not about the man Jesus that came 2,000 years ago It's not about him dying on the cross for us to have salvation or our sins forgiven. It's all about the message that he brought, about being a son or a daughter of God. And when you come to that place of knowing who you are, the whole entire world that we live in fades away. And you come to a new place, a new way of thinking, a new place in your heart that is already established. How many of us right now are worrying about tomorrow and trying to strive to make something for yourself? I mean, really trying to move forward and creating some type of a career or some type of thought of really providing income for your house. I mean, if you really think about it, everything that drives you is money, right? Everything that drives you to be who you are is the outcome of how much you're going to make, isn't it? Most of us, that's what it is. We have developed a lifestyle and a career to bring a financial situation in us to comfort us, right? And so what becomes our comfort? Money, you know? We marry for money, we work for money, we do everything for money. And I want to say to you that it doesn't have to be that way. God has brought us to a new world. And that new world is the kingdom. Now, I'm not saying to, you know, lay your life down to the point where you stop working and you stop looking at the need of providing your financial situations and everything else. You need to find happiness. Well, here's a great way of understanding what I'm trying to say. Let's say you're pushed to become a lawyer because the lawyer is going to make enough money for you to provide your financial need. But you don't want to be a lawyer. You want to be a bucket washer. Or you want to be a fisherman. Or you want to fish in the ocean. Now, a fisherman may not look like he makes a lot of money, you know, out there in the bad weather or what have you, and might not catch any fish for that day. But an attorney, you know, well, through past history, they make a lot of money. So it brings more comfort. So you tend to want to go in that direction. Let's say you go in that direction, you make a lot of money, but are you happy? You're living a life of misery. You got your money, but are you happy? But in your heart, you always wanted to be a fisherman. So maybe one day you finally wake up and you find my God. And then you decide, you know what, I'm not going to be driving myself to this place anymore. I'm going to follow my heart. And then you decide to lay everything down and become a fisherman. Then you realize, holy mackerel. Holy mackerel. I've caught a lot of fish. I'm going to take this fish and I'm going to sell it and see what it brings in. Oh my God. God, holy mackerel. It made more than I thought. I'm going to try to go out tomorrow and see what kind of fish I catch. And you go out tomorrow and it's like, holy mackerel. You caught more fish. Now the guy next to you that has a boat, he looks at you and says, holy mackerel, you caught a lot of fish. And I'm out there fishing right next to you, and I'm not catching nothing. And then I say to the guy who didn't catch anything, I said, well, let's lay this down for a minute. Was your father a fisherman? Yeah. Did you want to fish? No. What did you want to do? I wanted to become an attorney. The moral of this story is he didn't follow his heart. And I think if he followed his heart, he probably would have been catching as much fish as I was. And even though he was fishing right next to me, he didn't catch any fish. And I want us to move forward in this message of knowing that because you're a child of God, we need to come into his will. And when we come into his will, he supplies your needs. And he'll give you happiness in the midst of doing it. You need to be happy in doing what you're doing. Don't be driven by money. Don't be driven by the cares of this world. You have a life, and you need to live that life. And to find this life is like, you know, finding the greatest love and comfort that you ever would ever desire. Now, in the beginning, when that fisherman decided to not be an attorney and leave everything away and walk away from all his debt, he bought his boat and went out for the first day or two. You know, he didn't catch all the fish that he really wanted to catch that day. It took a little bit of time. But eventually, all of a sudden, he became the best fisherman. All the fish got into the boat. Supernaturally, all of a sudden, things just started happening. We just need to begin to believe. And when we begin to believe, things start to open up and happen. I look at my life right now, and I look at the situation where I'm at. Even though it's been a couple of months, it's only been the first day. Don't expect things to happen in the first day. With anything, I see you going into a new life. Don't expect that things are going to happen right the way you want it the first year. But eventually, it's all going to come to a place where you're going to be happy. But if you're making a decision now, tap into your heart and go there. Don't go up here. When you start thinking that you have to do something only because you think it's going to provide your need, but that's not what you really want to do, why deceive yourself? Because you know what? It's like taking 10 steps back. You're never going to obtain that place. Never. I look at Melinda right here. And she's in a transition in her life right now. And now you have to make a decision. Do you really want to be a school teacher? Is that really what you want to do? You see what I'm saying? Maybe that's not what you really want to do. Maybe it's something else. And that's where you need to come to. You need to find out what you really want to do. You know, you might have went to college and got your degrees, but who was pushing you there? Who was making you go in that direction? I know all of us, when we're young, our decisions don't really come from here. Our decisions are from influences, from those that we believe that will support us and guide us and direct us. But to know what's inside your heart is probably the greatest gift that anyone can have, especially at a younger age, because you have the whole world in front of you to look at. When you start getting an epiphany at age 50, and then you have all this to look at, you know, and then you have all this to lose, you know, it's a little bit more devastating when you're still, you know, got small responsibilities. And so those that are listening around the world, I hope and pray that they hear what I'm saying, that if you're young, follow your heart, because that's the will of God. That's truly the will of God. How you feel and what you want to do is the will of God. I didn't realize this until my life was changed. I never had this feeling of being a minister or a pastor or what have you until my life was changed. So I look at, you know, 13 or whatever years ago, that was just the new birth, the new birth that I had. I was a young child, but thank God I'm only 13 years old, so to say, or 14 years old to make my decisions today. But at the same time, how about those that have a decision to make, you know, at a young age? Like, I look at you and I see all that you're doing, and you're doing well, and I see how well you're doing, and I'm proud of you. Your mom and dad never filled me in with anything. And it's a good thing, because I don't want them to share anything with me. But you're doing very well in college, and you've been able to make some really nice friends, and you know, and you're moving forward right now, and you're kind of in a pinnacle place of career and not sure of what you want to do, but I know where you're going to end up. You're going to end up meeting someone who loves you very dearly, and you're going to follow the footsteps of your mom. You're going to take care of a home with some beautiful, beautiful children, and So don't strive so much. Don't get so caught up and be worried about anything, because you're going to be scooped up and you're going to be loved very, very much. And that's the blessing. That's the truth. And, you know, and you're going to be a proud grandfather, and you're going to be a proud grandmother. And listen, this is going to happen soon. It's, you know? But we embrace those. We embrace it, you know? My prayer is for everyone. And I pray for those that are sent to me. And when you come to me as a vision, I pray. And my prayer for you is that when you do come across these opportunities, you'll have a sense, like a wolf in the woods. They know who's good and they know who's bad. And you'll be able to smell it out. You'll know. You'll know who's there to just comfort you and try to deceive you just so that they can, you know, get their way with you for that day. But you'll know. You'll know who's true, and you'll know who's right. And then you'll connect with that one that you're supposed to have. That's my prayer for her. And that will happen. It will happen. I know, because I know my God. My God is a testimony. And when that happens, you're going to look back and you're going to say, you know what? I'm so happy to know your God. I'm so happy to know that I came under the covering of this ministry. I'm so happy because I came under protection. I've come under the place where nothing's going to harm us or hurt us. And I believe that all of us here are going to be blessed beyond measure. More so now, because I made a commitment in my heart. What better is it to know someone that can go to the throne room? And I believe that all of us can come to that place. But day in and day out, I am now up there with our God. And he reveals these things. And moving forward, take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. With that being said, we're speaking about Jesus and, you know, and the deceptions around the world. And I met a Muslim man not too long ago. And this Muslim man, we were talking about God. And I asked him what he believed. And he says, I believe that God dwells inside of me. And I said, well, I believe the same thing. He says, but aren't you a Christian? And I looked at him and I said, well, what is a Christian? You know, and then he started explaining to me what he thought a Christian was. And I'm like, well, that's not what a Christian is. That might be what American Christian, but that's not what a Christian is. A Christian is one who believes in Christ, one that believes that they are a son and a daughter of the living God, one that understands that they have a divine being inside of them and that they live with that divine being and follow the word that is written on their heart. He started getting all excited. And he's like, oh, you sound like a Muslim. You know, you sound like a Muslim. And I was like, well, what separates you and me? And he kind of thought about it. And I said, I'm going to tell you what separates you and me. It's called a law. It's called a do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs. You have a law that you follow that is written based on man's belief or man's interpretation. But you have said everything that I believe in. God dwells inside of you, that you have, you know, God and a divine person that you follow and live with. I said, that's no different than my beliefs. What separates us is that you have traditions of kneeling down at a certain amount of time and, you know, praying to whoever you pray to. And he was like, I pray to God and I pray to Allah. And, you know, I guess God and Allah are the same. I don't know. But I explained to him that, you know, you may work the works of praying at a certain time, but I pray all day, and just like you should be praying all day. And you do pray all day. You just don't realize that you pray all day. So I believe that the world needs to understand that we all have the same God. We all have the same belief. It's the culture that has separated us.
And now that the world is getting smaller, how many people realize that the world is getting smaller? I mean, it's not like, you know, that part of the world is staying over there and this part of the world is staying over here and this part of the world is staying here. It's not that way anymore. It's all like everybody is meshing together and becoming one world, so to say. And this is where I think most of the rumors of wars that are happening right now is because we're meshing. We're coming closer together. With that being said, I want to bring up the pastors of this ministry, and I want them to share something for us moving forward to this year and how they feel about, you know, our message that we're giving to the world. The world is longing to hear this truth. So I'm going to ask if Sam would come up and share, or anyone, Sam, Kurt, or Tim, come and share. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for these great men of God. Just a real quick testimony. When I was divinely touched by heaven and I came back, I never knew this man. I met him in a cheesesteak joint where he ran the business. And, you know, I was one of these fire bugs that were running around and prophetically speaking into people's lives. And I said that one day we will meet.
Be together.
And he thought I was nuts because, of course, he never saw me. And I don't know how many months later or whatever it was, or about 8 months later, all of a sudden, okay, he'll share.
Yeah, he said, we're going to be together one day. And I already had a ministry in Camden and in the prisons. And I was like, yeah, I'm good. I don't really do church. I'm more out in the field. You know, I didn't like church. I saw nothing but organizations of, you know, just no love. And so pastor said, we'll be together one day. And I started looking around for different churches to find one, you know, that was real. And I found a pretty good church. And this guy, Matt Iannacone, good guy. I went to his house for a few services, and he had this pamphlet. And he said, we're all going to the Glory Barn on Wednesday. And I said, what do you mean? What's a Glory Barn? I said, oh, my God. And I said, you know what? I grabbed this pamphlet, and I started shaking. I started getting this excitement on this pamphlet. And I showed up at this house, didn't know who the Glory Barn was, and this guy walks out of the house, and he goes, I told you we'd be together one day. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I almost fell into the wall. And for about 4 hours, I sat in this chair and cried my eyes out. The glory of God hit me in an unparalleled way and messed me up forever. But I have a word for the church and a word for you. Real quick, and that word is, and take this and believe it, all the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's the word for us. All the old things have passed away. Let it go. Let it all go. Behold, all things have become new. You know, what we teach in this ministry is basically that you're worthy of being loved. You're worthy of being loved. A lot of us don't believe that. A lot of us struggle with that one. It's a tough one. We look at ourselves, look at the way we look, the way we talk, even the way we think, and we judge ourselves constantly, and we put ourselves in torment. You know, I remember walking away from situations and conversations, and I said to myself, what did I just say to that guy? Oh, my God. What? I can't believe I just said that. And I'm like, that was horrible. You know, you're thinking, you judge yourself. And I walk around, I start laughing. I go, I start laughing because you can't control yourself. The heart wants to speak. Christ wants to speak. And if you really look at the things you say, you know, you look back and you say, you know, that wasn't really that bad. And it opened his eyes or opened her eyes. And we really have to believe that we're worthy of being loved. And in this ministry, we give you the truths to break down all the foundational lies that we've been taught of law and rules and regulations and you must do this and the law says this and the law says that. There is a law in your heart, and that law only comes from love. You have to believe that you're worthy of being loved. All God wants to do is love us. That's all he wants. It's not a complicated message we're given here. All we're saying is listen to these truths. It'll break down your own self-judgment. You can only control yourself. So what should we be focusing on? everybody else? If I could only control myself, what am I trying to do? Control everybody else? It's impossible. So we have to control ourselves and start teaching ourselves and telling ourselves and believing in ourselves. How many times do you ask people for their opinion on something? Trust yourself. There is Christ inside of you. Living God himself lives inside of you. And it says all the fullness of the Godhead dwells inside of you. All of it. Trust yourself. Stop asking the whole world for their opinion. What do they know? They don't even care. Trust yourself. Depend on yourself. Love yourself. By love yourself, I don't mean an arrogant love. Accept yourself. Realizing that it's not you, it's Christ in you. The hope of all glory. And we give that hope. And that's the whole message, is that God loves us. And the Bible says this. We must believe that God loves us. We must believe that he loves us. And he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Seek him. Pastor said it just now. He said, listen, I'm in prayer all day long. How is that possible? Because awareness is prayer. Being aware that God is with you is prayer. We go home, that's the best place. I wish we could put a camera in everybody's home in here. You don't know it's there. Just put it right in the spot where you have your conversations. And we can watch ourselves. God is there. He's in you everywhere you go, especially in your house. Those are the intimate times when you're alone with him. Those are the times that we should long for. He and I and Tim, in the beginning of this ministry, spent hours and hours on this floor every night. Listen, we'd work all day long, he'd work all day long, and we couldn't wait to get here every night. Why? Because the presence of God was here. I ran to get here every night to get into that presence, to be transformed, to receive peace, and to let more of me go. See, I didn't concentrate on letting this stuff go. I just laid in the presence of God, and it left. I laid in the presence of God, and I was transformed. Transformed by the glory of God. It's the same for everybody. Let that private time at your home be your intimate time with him. God is in you. And the law is written on your heart if you believe that he loves you. And that you forgive yourself, and you can love yourself. Believe that you're worthy of being loved. That's our message. Kurt, Tim.
You know, I'm sharing all this, and it was laid on my heart that the pastors of this ministry share for upcoming 2016 the importance of why we're doing what we're doing, where we're going, and the purpose of our belief. I wanted to say that we're like the second coming of Christ. Literally, the ministry that we serve is the second coming of Christ. It's not a new gospel that we speak about, but it's a new gospel for the world that don't understand. And to reach those people out there, to show them our testimony. When I met Kurt, you know, I knew him growing up as a child. We lived in the same geographical area. He knew of us, and I knew of him. And what I mean by that is I knew of the Taylors and he knew of the Mandels. And so I didn't know Kurt personally, and I don't think Kurt knew Jim personally, but we knew of each other. And with that being said, you know, God has a way of bringing people into your life. And he brought Kurt into my life, and it was the time of 9/11, wasn't it? And the whole world was in havoc. And if anyone knew about 9/11 in New York, we live right there. We were under attack. I mean, to see what happened was devastating. And his heart was opening up to find God. And he walked into this door and boom. I mean, God touched him in a most unique and special way. And he was enlightened. And now he's powerful in the Lord. He has a wonderful family that he's bringing up. I've watched his children from a young age grow up to the point you have KJ there. Did I get that right? Good. Jake. Jake, come here. Come here for a minute.
I'll tell you about my oldest.
Yeah. Him and his oldest look exactly alike. When I met Kurt, his oldest was about this age or maybe even younger. I don't know. He was younger. And now to see him in this truth, to see his children under this covering is the greatest thing ever we could ask for, because he has other friends that he grew up with who cannot compare to the wholesomeness, I want to say, of this man who is now a young man, carries. And I had the blessings to see him not a couple of weeks ago and saw and spoke in his life and watched him become a boy to a man. And now he is carrying that anointing. And, you know, what we share is something that is not a religion. It's a life. And the world needs to understand this life, because I don't think that your children would have been able to come into that place where they're at if they didn't have this covering, so to say, if they didn't have this anointing in their life. So I see another man ready to grow up and do great and wonderful things, just as I see his daughters and his oldest daughter there visiting us today, which is such a blessing too, because her life will never be the same either. When you're under the covering of our God and you know the truth and the anointing that comes under us, because when God touched his life, that's truly when his whole life changed. And I'll let him share his testimony about how his marriage became greater and freed up a lot of the stress in their life and brought them, their family really together in a great way. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise.
And when Jim was saying, you know, he didn't think my life, you know, would be this way. And I know it, all my kids would be a mess, just like I was a mess at the time. There's one thing that God has put in us. And as if we don't press God, we just live our life with God, how God's taught us through this ministry. And I let my kids go. And you can ask my daughter, my oldest daughter, and my oldest son, and even my young ones. I let God teach them. My son, Kurt, I just encourage him, whatever he's done, and even my oldest daughter, I just encourage, and I let them be led by their heart. And that's what this ministry is. It's changed my life. It's changed my wife's life. It's changed our marriage. It's changed how I'm a father. It's changed how my wife's a mother. It changed how my children are children and how they respect us. And we have an open relationship. I mean, you wouldn't believe, like Sam was saying, put a tape recorder or a camera in my house, and you wouldn't believe the conversations that it's like I'm their buddies, but they know that I'm their father. And it's a special relationship that I never had growing up and that I've never seen, to be honest with you. And I just give all the glory to God, because it's not me, it's God. How he's changed me and put a different perspective in me. It's God's perspective. You know, I'm a construction worker, and I always look at, like, when I leave a job, hello, there it is. Thanks, Tim. You know, we are the love of God. And that's what we teach. But out there, it's when I'm on a construction site, I changed jobs. That's where I was at. And I'm like, all right, Lord, who do you want me to talk to? You know? But when I press it, there's nobody. So when I'm least expecting it, expect it. So I'm on this job. Now, I've worked with a guy that has half a leg. Okay, he's got, broke his leg and he lost it. Gangrene came, they cut half of it. He's like 38 years old. I'm like, all right, Lord, is this him? No. There's a guy that had a stroke. He's a couple years older than me. He's my partner. Is that him? No. To a degree. Now I'm 120 some foot up in the air on scaffold. And I'm talking to this guy he's a sub foreman, so he's my boss. And I start having this conversation with him. And him and his wife were never able to have children. And he's a foster father, a foster parent. And he's had kids, and he lives over in Salem County, which evidently, I don't know Salem County, but it's evidently a pretty rough place. And him and his wife had this little girl. And what happened usually is the parents are drug addicts or convicts, and the children get taken away from them for a little while. Well, this little girl was, I think, a year old, year and a half maybe, and both the parents were drug addicts. Well, they fell in love with this child, which I didn't know that an individual could have a love for a child that wasn't theirs, because there's a special bond with everybody that's appearing here. Well, they fell in love with this kid so much that the state was going to give it to him. Well, then the one parent started getting a little better in their eyes, but started falling off. You know, that parent died in a car accident. 2 months later, the mother died of a drug overdose. And Jim was sharing this with me, and he was saying, you know, I always tell her, you know, pray for your mom and dad. Now, this guy isn't religious or anything like that, and after he was done talking to me, I said, Jim, do you know how much God loves you? And he looked at me and I said, nobody can orchestrate what God did. He knew the love that you and your wife had for that child, and he took everybody else out of that little girl's life so you can raise and fill that kid with love. God wants a relationship with all people. And a light bulb went off in his head and in his heart. I knew that day. He goes, you know, I know that. He just needed somebody to confirm it. But in the world's eyes, you're like, oh, you can't say that because the mom died and the father died. But no, God knows. God knows all things. We got to take God out of the box. But God wants that relationship with each and everybody here, out there, and in the world. But he wants to take the religion out. Like Pastor was saying, the law's got to go. The judgment has to go. I don't know what's in my daughter's heart. God does. So I can't judge her. I can only go ahead, hon. I agree with you. Go forward. Now, if it's something off the wall and then something clicks in me, we got to question things. But for the most part, she's doing really well. All my kids. But we've got to stop the judging. We just have to accept the love. Because we were blessed with his love. Freely receive. We receive from God. Freely we give out. We don't accept anything else. We're just here to be his children. His child, his son, his daughter, his brother. And to help one another. And that's where it is. We're all in it. Helps. You look at every one of your lives, you're in somewhere helping somebody. Isn't that interesting? We're all here to help. Don't judge yourself. Accept yourself. Because God dwells in every one of us. Hindu, Muslim, Jew, Catholic, anybody. Doesn't matter. At that, I'm going to end.
Let's give the hand. a praise for Pastor Kurt. You know, I thank God for what he has said, because it's so true. What we're trying to bring across to the world is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that who should ever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That forgotten Son, that only forgotten Son, is that Spirit that is in you. The same Spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in you. It's that same Spirit. It's your heart. It's who you are. It's the relationship of God in you. It's who you are. You are him and he is you. And we need to come to a place of believing that. You know, people are trying to find God. They're trying to find God, but they're not looking inside. They're trying to find God in there, and they're missing it. They're right there. It's who they are. If I told people, well, you're God, they look at you like you got three heads. But if I say, okay, well, all right, you're not technically God, but how do you feel? And who put those feelings in you? You? How come that person feels a little different than this person? Well, but it's the same God. It's a feeling that is inside of you that is wholesome. You have a desire. You have a want. That is God. It's a Spirit of God. He placed it inside of you. Animals don't have that. You know, think about it. You have to realize that what brought division in this world is the traditions and laws of man, not God. God didn't bring division. He brought unity. He said in the beginning, he says, let's create man and women in the image of me. That image is divine. How many people really believe in themselves? If you believe in yourself, you're believing in God. They just don't know it. We need to tap into that. I shared something earlier about the fisherman and the lawyer, you know, and eventually when he followed his heart, he was blessed. Blessed beyond measure. You know why? Because he followed God. He followed the God in him. And God is always blessed. It's not God, and that's what's cursed. When you follow God, you are blessed. It's a simple truth, but so hard for people to understand, it seems like. And I'm going to pass this over to Brother Tim, Pastor Tim Westerside. He's my brother. But I met him, too, in a very unique way. Whether he shares his testimony or not, I know that God touched him in a very unique and special way. But there was a fire burning inside of him that never went out. And I have watched this man grow tremendously when he met his wife, Allie. And, you know, and we'll be honest, when we met Allie, we were thinking to ourselves, okay. But my God has... Him and the truth in Tim has brought Allie and her mother to a beautiful place in a relationship with God. And God has made them blossom like a flower. You know, God is our water. God is our food. God is, and when people have an enlightenment of God dwelling inside them and they receive it, they flourish. You don't have to do anything. You can just watch them grow and watch them flourish, just as long as they know that you keep feeding them. God's in you. God's in you. Follow God. God's in you. So let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Pastor Tim.
Thank you, Pastor. You know, when he was talking about my wife, when I first met my wife, she had no real inkling about God. She wasn't raised in a church. She wasn't raised under religion or laws or anything like that. But she's always had God in her heart, and I believe why she came here and was with me was because we didn't push any doctrines and laws on her. We just wanted to show her the truth, which is God in you, and you know. And she knew that she had God in her, but she didn't know what the terminology was. And that's kind of like the whole world. I'm a Facebook fanatic. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. And one thing I can honestly say is there's a lot of people out there that are bashing like the Muslim religion, they're bashing Christianity, they're bashing all these different religions. And one thing I can honestly say is we all serve and have one God, and that's God the Father, who created every single person on this earth. And what our job here is in this ministry is to bring a knowledge, to bring a revelation to every single person that we meet and that we talk to on the web, that God lives and dwells within you, and he loves you, and he created you. You know, when Pastor was saying, he talked to that Muslim man, and the only differences between the two people were laws. That's the truth. What separates the Muslims from Christians, from the Buddhists, from Hare Krishnas, or whatever you name them, is man has put labels of laws and doctrines and do's and don'ts in their religion that separated each other from the true living God. And the true living God has placed himself inside each and every one of us, and that peace is called Christ. It's a divine nature that lives inside of you, and God says, I have put my laws in your heart. And each person is to follow those laws within their heart, and none of us are supposed to judge. Amen. We are not supposed to judge anyone. Like, I can't sit there and judge the Muslims, and they're not supposed to judge us. Or, you know, I don't even label myself as a Christian. I label myself as one who follows God. Amen. Because I follow the law that's written on my heart that he placed there. And it came to a knowledge for me was because I sat under this covering of this ministry. It brought me to a revelation of knowing that God was with me. When I first came here, I was a mess. It was probably about 17 years ago that I first came to this place. I was broke. I came out of a failed business. I didn't have any money. I didn't have any hope. But what happened was God put it on my heart to make myself here, to listen to the messages, to serve the people that were in here. And God turned my whole life around. I mean, I was single when I came here, and now I have a beautiful wife and two beautiful kids that I always had hoped and imagined, but God blew that life into it and brought it about. And it was only because I gave myself over to him. I threw down my will, because my will was, how am I going to get out of debt? How am I going to have a wife and kids? And I was in torment. Pastor and my brother Sam, Pastor Sam and Pastor Kurt, they were with me, and they would always be like, Tim, just rest. It'll happen. You know, you're trying to put an emphasis on it, and you're putting stress in your life about it. Just wait on God. You know, it's the toughest thing, as we always say, wait on God, because we want it instantly. We want it to happen now. But when you get the revelation of trusting God and who he is in you and in your life, then you can wait on him with patience. And you'll see things happening that were beyond your wildest dreams and imaginations, because you waited on him. You waited for his perfect will and perfect timing in your life. Because if I would have had it when I first got out of, you know, my bankruptcy and my business and everything, our relationship would have failed. It would have. I would have met my wife, and guess what? We probably would have been divorced a couple years later, and I would have never had the kids that I have now, because it would have been out of his timing. But because I waited and I had patience, and the brothers and sisters in here encouraged me to wait. You know, they poured into me their love, and it was able to encourage me to keep going forward and keep trusting God. And that's what we do in this place, is when people have a hope or they don't have hope, and we restore hope to them, then they can wait in patience for God's will to take place in their life. And it changes them. Like Pastor Kurt was saying earlier, he's got a beautiful wife. He's got beautiful kids. You know, his marriage is succeeding. It's doing really well. And it's because of the love of God that's in his life, and it's because of the people here that encourage you each and every time you come out to this ministry. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are asking, you know, what about God? Who is God? You know, if you really tap into our messages and you really start to apply them, you'll see God manifest in your life, because it starts with faith, and it starts with that hope that's inside of you. If you don't have faith, you're not going to see God. You're not going to see him manifest in your life. But if you just take time and spend that time just crying out to God, humble yourself. Don't reason. Everybody out there in religion is reasoning, because there's a lot of philosophies. There's a lot of philosophers. But God's not a philosophy, and we're not philosophers. We stand in truth, because we know the will of God because of the inspiration and the unctions that dwells inside of us. And that's what we speak. We speak in power and not persuasive words, because we see miracle signs and wonders manifesting in our lives on a daily basis. The only thing is, we don't share it all the time, because you know why? There's jealousy out there. People get jealous, saying, oh, well, why is God doing this in your life, but he's not doing anything in my life? You know why? Because we're seekers. We want to see God in the worst way, and we want to see his love. And you know what? We have a passion and a love for God, and it's also a passion and love for you, because we want to see God evident and reality in your life. And, you know, when we talk up here and we talk out there and we're talking to people that are going through issues, there's a compassion that wells up in each of us that we want to see things change in your life, and we want to see God manifest in your life. You know, I don't know what the other religions are out there. I don't know if they're wanting the same thing, but that's why I'm saying we're not religion. You know, when I see Muslims and stuff, I have a compassion for them, because I'm like, you know what? If they would just lay aside those doctrines, if they would just lay aside those laws, they'll truly see the true living God manifesting in their life. They will. They'll see the miracle signs and wonders. They'll see how God doesn't separate people. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't say the Jews over here are better than the Christians, or the Christians are better than the Muslims, or the Muslims are better than the Buddhists. It doesn't work that way, because everyone was created equally in God's eyes, because he's not a respecter of person, because his love is beyond our understanding. And he created all of us, and he's inside of our hearts. And our job is just to get that word out, to say, guess what? God lives in every single person, and we just want to bring that to your focus and to your knowledge. And at this time, I know we're running low on time, so I want to kick it back to Pastor.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Pastor Tim. And it is so true about what is happening, and we just want to emphasize